Well, we're talking about this morning. We are in our series, Freedom From Within, apropos for this month, where we celebrate the freedom of this country. And, you know, the parallels are so intricately woven together between the freedom of this country and the freedom that we enjoy as believers, freedom in Christ, the freedom that we have in Christ. There's just... It's so God, this country, that you really got to have outside help to misunderstand it. I say you got to have outside help to misunderstand how close this country is to God. The Constitution was authored by God. We've been through that before, but it's the longest standing Constitution that we know of in history. And there's a reason for that. So we need to be thankful for that. You know, I heard John Kennedy, and he said, you know, if you think that you are one of those who doesn't need to get involved in government or politics or anything, he said, you are very much like a rock, except dumber. Because if you just let the devil's kids run it, look what happened last. I mean, you had an empty shell of a president walking around being led by the hand from his handlers who were running this country behind this. They weren't elected. It was total tyranny what they were doing. And look at the inflation. We could go on and on and on, but this started a long time ago. This started with the Johnson Amendment back in 1954, where he muzzled the church. They couldn't talk about politics. They couldn't talk about anything because they were muzzled. If they did, they would lose their 501c3 standing. He worked out a deal with the IRS. And ever since then, and you can see that the morality and everything else of this country, even the dollar, Nixon, when he can't, I mean, these things, first thing we did was kick prayer out of school after this. Why? Because the churches were muzzled. The preachers were muzzled. The voice of righteousness, the voice of it was all muzzled by the government. And so then you got prayer thrown out of school. Then the year after that, you got Bibles thrown out of school. Then you had the onslaught of murdering innocent babies just with the government backing it. You tell me that wasn't a curse? And all of a sudden, we were paying from 33 cents a gallon for gas, went up to 65 cents a gallon, and we got out and pumped it ourselves. You talk about a curse in this country? People couldn't afford anything. There was an oil embargo, whatever. But I'm saying that it mirrors when a country turns away from God. This is what happens. When a government turns, but happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Happy. Happy. We're done with tyranny. We're done with lies. You know what? Their lies don't even matter anymore because nobody believes them anyhow. They got to want to believe a lie. Well, turn on your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1. And but while you're turning there, let's go into our weekly confession, Stephen. Boy, man, with a fast hand on the switch. Ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Ooh, there's about 15, 20 messages we could go into right there. This is pregnant with power. I am not ashamed. Don't ever let anybody shame you through peer pressure or anything else of the gospel of Christ. If you get resistance, go further. Keep talking, keep speaking, because the truth will overcome the lies. The light will overcome the darkness. You know, if you turned out the lights in here and somebody just lit a match, you'd be able to say, what happened to the darkness? You keep speaking the word of light, the word of life, and death will go. The word of healing and sickness and disease will go. You keep speaking those things. Speak them. That's what we are anointed to do. Because, look, it says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto what? Salvation. Do you know what salvation means? That word, sozo, and soteria, another thing. It's one of those big words of the Bible, all-inclusive words of the Bible. And it means salvation. In other words, fire insurance. You won't have to go to hell. It also means healing. It's bought and paid for. You got to understand, you cannot deny healing and salvation. You can't say that the cross is just for... They're all of the cross. Salvation is healing, deliverance, prosperity, protection, soundness, reconciliation. It's an all-inclusive word. And it's not just one of those, it's all of those. What is your need? Somebody asked me one time, why are you always talking about faith? You know, there are other things. I said, yeah, but it depends on who I'm talking to. I mean, do you realize the churches are talking to Christians, born-again Christians? They go to church like soldiers, and they march in at 10, and they march out at 11, and the preacher stands up there and just preaches to them like they were never saved. They're preaching salvation messages to people who are already saved. What's the important message there? What they need to know is who they are in Christ, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we'll get to that in a minute. But look, the gospel of Christ is the power of God. That word power is the word dunamis. When God raised Jesus from the dead, it was the greatest release of power ever in the history of the universe. You think that the creation was... No, he just went, light be. But he had all the powers of this earth working against him. He had all the total resistance mounted up from the time of Adam to Jesus. That's 4,000 years of human history dominated by the devil coming at him. And he released his power. It's enough! And Jesus rose from the dead. And not only that, it had enough power in it to destroy the demonic realm and put them into a tailspin that left them powerless. The only power the devil has now is through deception. That's all he's got. And he's doing a good job at it because people don't know the truth. It's up to us to give him the truth. It's up to us to go out into all the world, into all entertainment, arts, and politics, and every part of the world, and go out and preach the gospel to them, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone. I don't care who you were or who you are now. The gates of heaven are open, but it's not just going into the gates. That's just standing up. You're 750 miles away from the throne if you're at the gate of heaven. You have been invited to the throne of grace.
Amen.
It's not the throne of judgment. It's the throne of grace.
Amen.
Unmerited favor. You didn't earn it, but it's yours. He loves you.
God.
He loves you. And if I get to shouting or something and getting excited, you know, you need to get lit up too.
Amen. Yeah.
To everyone who does what? Gets it all right? Doesn't make any mistakes? Falls on your face? Sins? Oh, this is already paid for. Everyone who believes.
Amen.
This is not about what you do. It's about what you believe.
Hallelujah.
And who you believe in. It's so stinking simple. It is so simple that you really need outside help to misunderstand it. So everyone who believes, the Jew first, They were the ones who brought Jesus into the world, the Jews. People say the Jews killed him. Well, no, the devil killed him. And if he knew what he was, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that if the devil knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory, because you know why? Because now he is in Phil. He is in Judy. He's in the Lavoies. He's in all of you. He multiplied. That's what the devil saw on the day of Pentecost. He saw 2,120 of them. Jesus's. The way he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's what he saw you in the Spirit. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven from faith to faith. Amen. Righteousness is not something you just read about for a couple hours and say, okay, that's it, I got it, right? Let me go into some of my notes here. Righteousness is a revelation. It comes to you a little at a time. It's like you get little glimpses of it. You get little tastes of it. Your mind gets a little spark of it. And it just starts to accumulate over time until it starts forming an image on the inside of you. And that image is the righteousness of God that was in Christ, and you are in him now. And that righteousness now is taking over your life. You're not the same person you were. Why? Because you have a revelation of righteousness. Right standing with God is what righteousness is. And you know, it's easy to get confused about this righteous. It really means right. Righteous means right. The old King James in the King James English added the E-O-U-S on the end, but basically righteous, it means right. The rightness of Jesus is now, we've been made right with his rightness. And then the devil says, oh no, isn't that taking it just a little too far? Does he ever say that to you? It's like he tries to sound intelligent. If he was intelligent, he would have never rebelled against God. Let's give him some credit. I mean, he is sly, he is foxy, he is subtle, and so forth. But man, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Oh. Look at verse 17. For therein, in what? In the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God. This dunamis, this is the miraculous, self-energizing, explosive power of God. And here's why the devil hates the gospel so much. You know the power that was released in the resurrection in the event? That same power is resident in the preaching of the gospel. That's why he hates it so much. That's why he tries to destroy it. He tries to dilute it through religion. The prisoners march in at 10, march out at 11. The organist doesn't know the right hand from the left, and neither does the preacher, usually. And they've been preaching this to the church forever, that, oh, you are, they all have sinned. Let's go there. Romans chapter 3, let's look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now they stopped right there. And they say, well, there's none righteous. No, we are sinners saved by grace. That's impossible. First of all, if you are a sinner, if you're saved by grace, you're not a sinner anymore. That doesn't mean you don't sin. It just means that you have gone into another class of being, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I'll get to that in a minute. Where am I? You know, and why is it? See, if the devil can keep you in thinking that you're a sinner, thinking that you are, you'll think you're condemned. And if he can get you locked up in condemnation, then what happens? then you don't want to pray. You're filled with guilt. Every time you go, to the light exposes more guilt, and you think that you're... No. If you're condemned, you have no freedom. If you're condemned... And the thing is, why do they stop there? This chapter is not about becoming a sinner. In fact, it goes on to say this. Look at this. It says, there is none that understands, none that seeks, none that they've all gone out of the way and together become unprofitable. There is none, and all of this about what man is without God. And then in verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law. Because he just got through saying, by the law no flesh will be justified. It couldn't do that. It couldn't forgive you. It couldn't do that. You had to be covered and make an animal sacrifice and bloodshed in order for mercy to be applied to your next year. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law says he can't help you. All I can point out how big and beautiful and holy God is and how terrible man is. That's what the law says. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all men and upon all men who what? Believe. So what this says is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. If you've received Jesus, through put your faith in him, what happens is you've been made righteous and his righteousness is upon you. And where? It is unto you, it is into you, you've been made righteous, in other words. And it's upon you. His righteousness is upon you and in you. For there is no difference. Difference of what? Difference between you and God. It's the same righteousness. You get a revelation of this and your whole life will change. Your prayer life will be empowered. Your wood will be wet if you don't get this. If you're not, this didn't light you on fire. The faith of Jesus Christ, his faith, it's the faith of God, it's the faith of Christ. It's the faith of Christ unto all and upon, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith unto all men. You have been made right. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. You know, this chapter is a big chapter. It tells you that you are a new creation, that you are a new species of being because you're in Christ. In verse 21, it says this, for he has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I know that on this particular program, it doesn't put italics where they belong. The word to be is italicized, which means it's simply added by the translators to make it more congruent with the English language, because that stuff is left out in the Greek. For he has made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. This is not just being imputed to you. This is not righteousness like it was with Abraham. His faith, it was righteousness was imputed to him because of his faith. No. Jesus was made sin for us. And just as sure as he was made sin for us, we were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Just as sure as Jesus was made sin for us, we were made sin. We were made righteous with God's own righteousness. You got to let that tuck itself into your heart. And just know that when you pray, when you walk into prayer and you say to God, Father. You have to understand that you are one with him.
Amen.
He who believes is one spirit with him. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you're going to talk about how you feel, your past failures, your sins, all your excuses, you know, you keep on going in that route. There's a whole denomination that does nothing but confess their sins. And they come back every week, every week, every week, every week. You think they get it. No, you confess your righteousness in God, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ, that I have been made righteous. Don't go to church like the rest of the world, the religious world, who doesn't know God. They don't know God. They go there as a sinner and they leave as a sinner. They wake up in the morning as a sinner. They go to bed at night as a sinner. They're always thinking guilt, condemnation. No, you can't live like Jesus didn't go to the cross and pay for your sins and just dump the power of God on the devil. No, this thing has been done. Your sins have been purged. You are made something. Don't diminish the blood of Christ and trample it under your feet by saying, no, I guess I'm just not worthy.
Amen.
You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, a joint heir with Christ, not a sub-heir. When God looks at you, he looks at Jesus. When God looks at you, all of a sudden, don't turn there. I'll just explain it. You remember when Cain rose up and slew Abel?
Yeah.
This is, and God came down and says, hey, where's your brother? I don't know where he is. Well, my brother's keeper. He said, your brother's blood is crying up to me from the ground. What do you think that blood was speaking? I mean, here's Abel. He did everything right. He did what was right. He loved God. He was going to please God. And his brother, out of pure envy, if you got envy in your heart, get rid of it. You don't have to envy anybody. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been raised up and seated together with Christ in heavenly places, right at the right hand of God. That's where he is. That's where you have been called to be. Are you raising us up to no, he did. People say, are you mad? I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at sin. And this is why God looks at sin too. He doesn't see it because, oh, get it away from. No, he looks at it for what it's doing for you, to you. That's why he hates it so much. He loves you and he wants to pull that stuff away from you, but he needs your cooperation and he needs to know who you are and confess who you are.
Amen.
You believe it in your heart and confess it in your mouth.
Amen.
That is the word of faith which we preach, Paul said. That if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It is principle. Jesus taught this. If you believe in your heart and say to the mountain, it'll move. But he needs your cooperation. He doesn't force his will on anybody. This covenant is voice activated. Believe it in your heart. Say it with it. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. You know, you think of it. You think when he was in the garden and he started to pray. Well, anyhow, what do you think Abel's blood was speaking? Well, no, that's later on. Abel's blood was speaking vengeance.
Revenge.
It was speaking of his innocence and his anger towards the injustice that was forced on him. But the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. Because even though he was the innocent, the Bible is so tied to, even though Jesus was the innocent, his blood preordained was shed for you. His blood cries out innocence for you. It cries out grace for you. It cries out mercy. It speaks better things than that of Abel. When you understand the covenant that God cannot turn away from, if he accepted Jesus when he rose him from, when raised him from the dead, he verified the ministry of Jesus all through Jesus' ministry. He went to the cross, not because he had to, but he wanted to. He was willing to do it. He had to be willing. This has to do with the will of man. That's a big subject there, but just know this. Jesus, he said, with desire, I have desired this moment. He wanted to go to that cross and get this thing done and paid for. But yes, was he cringing in his humanity at the thought of death and being separated from the Father? I mean, Moses and Elijah appeared to him and they talked about it and told him exactly what was going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And we see the physical suffering of Jesus, but that was absolutely nothing compared to what his spirit was going to go through. And when he was on that cross and God pulled away and the darkness came, you remember that? It says darkness covered the earth. And he said, my God, my God. That's the only time he called his Father his God. It's the only time he called him my God. Every before and after that, he called him my Father. Because he was separated from God. And the earth, the people of this world call him God. I call him Father. I call him Daddy. I call him that because he's my dad. My dad's a good dad, but this God is much better. Amen. He's a good father. I mean, he's got it down. He knows how to give good things to his children, too. Amen. We have been so much more than forgiven. You've got to understand something. When you have been... I'm sorry, Steve. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go there. How many of you are getting something out of this today? Yeah. I'm getting happy. I mean, if you weren't here, I'd just go ahead and preach it myself. I'm getting happy. So don't, if you get happy, you're in a good place. Hey! Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, made us alive together with Christ. You weren't even born here. You weren't even born again here. And Paul is saying, see, in the mind of God who sees the future, who sees the things coming past, who revealed to Isaiah when he saw how Jesus was crushed by the hand of God on the cross. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and that word bruise means crush. He saw the fist of God come down on his anger, pent up for sin and what it did, and how many millions of people were in hell that didn't belong there because of what Lucifer, Satan did. And his hand came, and when Jesus was made sin, he was free to judge sin and deliver the innocent son who'd paid it all. Oh, this is so big. But even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. In the mind of God, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised from the dead. When Jesus was seated at the right hand of God, you were seated with him. Let's go on to the next verse. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Where's Jesus right now? Right hand of God. Interceding for you. He's your advocate. He's the mediator of all the covenant benefit. He's all of these things. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He wants this revelation to go out to everybody. Amen. The revelation, which is an open door invitation to enter in and become exactly like Jesus. Amen. That you can come to your Father anytime you want to and know that he will hear you, that he will answer you. Why? Because you pray according to his word. You pray in faith. He wants to establish a trust in you that you can trust him, that he is faithful. If there was any question about God's faithfulness, he wouldn't be God. I said, if there was any question about God being faithful, he would not be God. He is the faithful one through all the ages. You can believe him. And when you believe him and when you receive Christ, it's not just believing in Christ. It's receiving him as your Savior. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become the sons of God. Even to those who believe on his name. Yes, believe on his name so that you can become his child. And when you become his child, then you graduate into maturity, into a son. I think it's the third chapter of Galatians goes into all that, the difference between a child and a son. It's a matter of maturity, not what you do. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come. Do you have any idea about the ages to come and what's in store for you? I get little glimpses of it once in a while. But even if you were swept in on the last wave, washed up on the shores of heaven, you know, even the dog work is better than anything you could imagine on this earth. Anything. It's just a privilege to do it. I remember when I was first saved, Lori and I were talking about this the other day, but all I wanted to do was get to church. I just wanted to be in church. I wanted to be with God's people. If they wanted me to clean the toilet, I would have cleaned the toilet. I'd do anything. I just wanted Jesus. I was willing to do anything. I mean, I was totally changed. And what I learned later, what happened to me, because I didn't know it at the time, because I wasn't, you know, Bible intelligent, but I had the peace of God because I had been made the righteousness of God in Christ. I was no longer in Adam. I was in Christ. I was translated into the kingdom of God. And I was delivered from the power of darkness. Now, this is why we need to understand something, because freedom needs to be defended. Just like this country needs to be, you need to defend your freedom. Because the devil works in lies and deceit and control, using all kinds of things, even world systems, to try to control people, which is what we just got rid of in this country. If you don't see that, I'll pray for you. But here, you've got to understand something, that now, I mean, the momentum was so heavy going this way into darkness that one guy stands up and holds a fist to it and invites us all to join him in the fight, because it is a fight for freedom. We had to fight for this freedom right from the very beginning of this country. But if you like paying taxes and inflation and having your borders just trampled on by murderers and come in and, you know, never mind the citizens who pay for all this, we'll just let them all in. Why? So that they could change the voting block and stay in power forever. Because they don't have a message. They don't have any foreign policy, no domestic policy, nothing. They have nothing. They're an empty bag. But they want power. So not so they can govern, but so they can rule. And our country is meant to be governed by the people, for the people, and by the people. Okay. Do you see the parallels there? I just thought that appropriate, because it's this month when we celebrate these things, and we have something to talk about now. We got something to celebrate now. You know what? I'm gonna carry this on next week, because it's a little after my time. But I'll just carry this on. Just say this with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He redeemed me. He cleansed me. He washed me. I am his.
He is mine.
Just as Jesus was made sin for me,
I was made the righteousness of God in Christ.
I'm going to walk in that.
I'm going to experience that.
And all the blessings that come with it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You said it. You said it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for light and truth that comes through Jesus Christ and the grace of God that was manifest in his life and continues to be manifest in the church. We thank you for the power that you have empowered us with to walk above these things, the things of the world and the traps and the snares of the enemy. We thank you, Father, that you've given us the word of reconciliation for all the church, for all the world, and for those in the church who haven't experienced your power. Lord, the word goes out from us to them. Let's pray this prayer together. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. I mean, you need to on purpose do that. This is an act of faith. Not just leave it up to God to work it all. No, he's already done that. You come and receive from him. And you'll have that life. And if you want him, if you want him to be your Lord, just pray this prayer with me. Say, let's all pray it. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe his blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And when you did that, you raised me up from my death. You considered it done. I thank you for your mercy. And though I have been a sinner, and I am a sinner, I come to you. And I ask you to forgive me. Release me from the power of sin. And help me by the Holy Spirit to walk in your power so that I will have fellowship with you in the righteousness that you have made available for me, that I be made the righteousness of God in Christ. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant it, I want you to come up here right after service. I want to pray with you, and I have some material for you too that you need to have, information that hopefully will become revelation to you. Amen.